It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? So glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 11, and we're going to begin reading from verse 15 through verse 19. So please that you open your Bibles, Revelation chapter 11, beginning to read with verse 15. While you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois 62341. If you would like to call us, our phone number here at the church is 217-847-2717. If you'd like to send us an email, you can do that at parkviewbible@gmail.com, parkviewbible@gmail.com. If you'd like to visit our website, that's www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. I hope that that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study. And again, we'll begin reading at Revelation chapter 11, verse 15, Revelation 11, 15. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, "The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And 24 elders, which sat before God on their seats, fell upon their faces and worshipped God, saying, We give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art, which wast, and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. The nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou shouldst give reward unto thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldst destroy them which destroy the earth. The temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament, and there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and earthquakes and great hail." We're going to stop with the reading there. We may today get into the 12th chapter, but we're going to end right there for now and begin with prayer. Father, we thank you today that we can come and enjoy this precious time. I just ask that you guide and lead us. It is so wonderful, Father, to be in your will and to study your precious word. So wonderful to be born again, to be saved. And I just ask today that all that are listening know you as their Savior. If they have not come to the cross of Calvary and believe in you, that you died on that cross, that your Son, the Lord Jesus, died on that cross to save them. And that only is salvation. We don't need works. We don't need baptism. All those things, the baptism is necessary for fellowship. That's the first command. But it's not connected with salvation. Salvation is to believe. And if we believe in you, that you died on the cross to save us, then, Father, you save us, and thank you. So please, guide and lead us. Touch every heart today for salvation, and then grow each and every one of us, please. We don't just stop right there and just know we're saved and that's the end. No, please, that we can walk each day in fellowship and service to you. So please, guide and lead us, dear Lord, today. And we thank you for the reading. And now, please bless the study. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we look at these verses of Scripture, and it's in the seventh angel sounded, there were great voices in heaven saying, "The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshiped God." We look at this and we find that when the seven trumpet sounds, when the seventh trumpet sounds, everything in heaven, all creation breaks out with thunderous praise and shouts. Great voices, the scripture says. And then we find that 24 elders fall upon their faces. In the fifth chapter, the elders fell down and gave thanks, but here they humble themselves to a much greater degree, and they fall on their faces. Fall on their faces. Remember, the 24 elders represent the church, the firstborn of the resurrection. I don't want you to forget that. The elders, these 24 elders, represent the church, the firstborn of the resurrection. These 24 elders, the church, are those that were raised in the rapture of the church. And that took place just prior to the beginning of this seven-year tribulation. The one that is counted worthy to escape the woes that will come upon this whole earth. And that one that's counted worthy is the church, born again believers, these 24 elders. However, there will be no vanity, no selfishness, no pride in heaven. We won't be saying, boy, look at us. Boy, we made a good decision. No, we will be there with a rightful, thankful, praising heart. That's what we need to be doing. As we look at these 24 elders, we need to realize that they are watching and they're concerned over the pending judgments. They're concerned, they're watching the great conflicts that are taking place. They're also very aware that there's going to be victors yet to be won. There's going to be victories yet to be won by those who are still on the earth, those that are going to be saved during this terrible time called the tribulation period. So you see, they're aware of the judgments, they're watching the conflicts that are taking place, and yet they know that there is still going to be victories. And those victories only can be won by those that do not take the mark of the beast, but come by faith to Jesus Christ. You know, there can be victories today. You can be a victor today if you'll just come by faith to Jesus. I don't care what your religion is. I don't care where you go to church. The start, the beginning, or if you never go to church, the beginning is to come by faith to Jesus Christ and be saved. And then everything else begins to take its course, take its direction. But it must start there. It must start there. We find the trumpet is now sounding, bringing to a climax all the judgments. And once again, verse 15 and then 16. The seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. He shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshiped God, saying, We give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art, which wast, which art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. The nations were angry. Thy wrath has come, and the time of the dead that they should be judged. The nations of the earth were angry. The time of God's great wrath has come. God is about to judge the wicked in final judgment. God is about to reward all of his prophets and his servants. There'll be a new heaven, be a new earth, and it's soon to come. We read the rest of verse 18, and I'll begin with the beginning of verse 18 to hold the full meaning. Nations were angry. Thy wrath has come, the time of the dead, which they should be judged, and that thou shouldst give reward to thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldst destroy them which destroy the earth. So the reward's coming for the prophets and the saints. We receive our rewards during the seven-year tribulation, not here on earth, but in heaven. It's called the marriage supper of the Lamb. But all is beginning to come to a close. As it comes to a close, judgment is poured out upon the evil of this world, and ushered in will be the new heaven and the new earth. Verse 19, the temple of God was opened in heaven. There was seen in his temple the ark of his testament, and there was lightnings and voices and thunderings and earthquakes and great hail. The temple of God is opened, the literal temple. The temple of the Jews was a copy. If you go back to Exodus chapter 25, verse 40, it says, look that thou make them after their pattern, which was showed thee in the mount. When Moses was up on the mount, Mount Sinai, he not only received the Ten Commandments, but he also received all the plans to the tabernacle. And he not only received the plans, but he saw the temple in heaven. He said, make it according to that. Now here in verse 19, the temple of God was opened in heaven, very same temple. And there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament. At one time in the past, heaven and earth's worship was very close together. Back in the days of Adam and Eve. And then sin came. As the first Adam fell, the second Adam, which is the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, come to redeem us. So, at one time, heaven and earth were very close together in all that they did. But then when sin entered in, that all went away. But when the second Adam, and we thank our God for the second Adam, the Lamb of God, come, was slain on Calvary, on the cross, shed his blood, and redeemed us. The union that started with Adam and Eve will return. One day that sweet union between heaven and earth will be restored. Jesus said, and listen to this very carefully, it's something you're probably very used to, but you've never thought of it in this manner. Jesus said to pray in this manner, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. It's exactly what he's talking about right there. It's exactly what he's talking about. look at the Ark of God. The Ark of God's Testament, it says here, or the covenants. I need you to see and understand that all of the covenants, all the promises of God, all that He made to His people are in the Ark, this Ark in heaven. Not one word of God's promise is obsolete, dead, or forgotten. And now at the ending time, when all promises are fulfilled, that treasure box, that sacred ark appears. When every word, every promise that God has made is complete, then here appears this sacred box. Where does it appear? In the temple of God. The fulfillment of all that God has spoken to all creation has come. What a statement. What a promise. And with that comes lightnings and voices and thunders and earthquakes and great hail. As we close out this time of rejoicing, as these 24 elders, as the church sees this, look how close the church is, that the church sees this closing time. And watch the steps there, the judgment of the lost and the rejoicing of the saved. The temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in the temple the Ark of the Testament, with all being complete, with lightnings and voices and thunderings and earthquake and hail. And look what comes next. And I said we'd probably get on to the 12th chapter, and we're going to. And so please, follow with me. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered. Now let's just stop there. Let's just stop there. A great wonder in heaven. This word great's used 5 times in the 12th chapter. It clarifies, it says, a woman is not in heaven, but it's upon the earth. This woman is upon the earth. The sign is in heaven, but the birth takes place right here on this earth. It says this woman is clothed, dressed, has dress, shoes, and a crown. Her dress with the sun. Clothed with the sun. The moon under her feet. That's her shoes. And upon her head, a crown of 12 stars. The woman, according to the word, is a woman, is not only a woman, but is a mother. A mother that's about to deliver. What's this all mean? Why all this? This woman so wonderfully clothed is the nation of Israel. You You know, Joseph had a dream back in the 37th chapter of Genesis. And he saw the sun, the moon, and the stars bowing down to him. This was a prophetic picture of the nation of Israel. Israel is the woman who brought forth the man-child who is to rule with a rod of iron. Only of Israel could it be said that she is clothed with the sun. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. Malachi 4:2. Israel brought forth the Redeemer. Salvation is of the Jews. Look at John chapter 4, verse 22. John 4:22. Ye worship, ye know not what. Ye know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. That's with the Samaritan woman, isn't it? Then Hebrews chapter 2, verse 16 says, verily, he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took of him the seed of Abraham, be the Jews. Here, with the woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet and the stars upon her head, is presented for us a complete system of government. It's a symbol of Israel. 24 is the church. 12 is always Israel, the 12 tribes. Isaiah tells us of the increase of his government and peace shall be no end. That's Isaiah 9:7. The government of Almighty God will never cease. The crown on the woman's head signifies royal dignity. But why the stars in the crown? Without a doubt, these stars point back to Joseph's dream, in which the future glory of the 12 tribes of Israel was set forth. What a picture! You see, the Gentiles are called during the church age. But there will be, you know, Jesus himself, he set aside the nation of Israel because of their unbelief. But he still loves them and still is going to call them. And there's going to be a calling together of them. And that calling together will come during this tribulation period. And so all of a sudden now we're talking about Israel once again as a nation. The 12 stars, 12 denotes administrative rule in the hands of man. Israel is earthly. Israel has earthly promises. Every promise Abraham was given will be fulfilled, everyone, including the possession of the land. All this will take place. The second verse says in Revelation 12:2, and she being with child, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. This mother to be is Israel. But who is the man-child about to be born? There's a question. In the fourth verse of this chapter, which we have not read, let me go ahead and just read verse 3 and 4. There appeared another wonder in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew a third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. This child whom Satan is ready to devour, who is this child? Comparing Scripture with Scripture, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things, we will see who this child is. He is to rule all nations with a rod of iron. The fifth verse says, and she brought forth a child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. Next, who could this be other than Jesus Christ, the Son of God? She brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. Psalms chapter 2, beautiful message that was proclaimed in that chapter. Let's go to Psalms chapter 2. Why do the heathens rage? Why do the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh, and the Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath, and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill in Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them to pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise not therefore, now therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. That was Psalms chapter 2. Jesus has been the object of the devil's hatred since he was promised in Genesis 3:15. That's the first place the gospel's found. There is a trail of blood from Genesis to the cross, a trail of blood left by those whom Satan destroyed in his all-out attempt to stop the seed of the woman. Now there's a trail of blood, a string of blood, the blood of Jesus, literally from the beginning of Genesis, that comes all the way through. This scarlet thread. But there has been a trail of blood that Satan has left, trying to destroy the seed of this woman. But praise God, Jesus fulfilled every demand of God the Father. And he, Jesus, paid sin's debt in full. Jesus conquered death, hell, and the grave. He arose. He appeared to man. He ascended back to his Father, and he's coming again in power and great glory. What a wonderful message. We'll begin there next time we come together. My dear friend, trust in Jesus. What are you going to do about Jesus?